Hey, good afternoon to you, Namibia and the world. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you are tuned into On the Reading News Analysis right here on Eagle FM, your trusted space for informed updates, critical insights, and unpacked development from across Namibia's economic, social, and governance landscape. Now, if you've been looking for a show that breaks down the big issues from governance to grassroots, from policy to the people, then look no further. On the Reading News Analysis is your weekday guide to what matters most, bringing you the headlines behind the headlines every Monday to Friday from 1300 hours to 1430. Now, this isn't just about headlines. On the Reading News Analysis is about depth and dialogue. It's where we interrogate the stories shaping our country, ask the hard questions, revisit past coverage, and connect the dots through archived audio, expert opinions, and sharp analysis. From major policy decisions, pardon me, to everyday realities, we bring you the full story with context and clarity. Our interviews are long form and in depth because some stories deserve more than just sound bites. We come prepared with the facts, background, and your questions to make sure every conversation brings us closer to understanding what truly lies beneath the surface. Remember, you can catch On the Reader News Analysis live on all Eagle FM frequencies via the Eagle FM app or our interactive Eagle FM website. Don't forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel for real-time updates, exclusive interview clips, and behind-the-scenes moments. So stay tuned, stay curious, and step beyond the surface. This is On the Reader News Analysis, where Namibia comes to think. As the festive season approaches, a time when road traffic typically increases, the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund is raising the alarm over Namibia's growing number of road fatalities. Now, according to the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund statistics, 414 people have lost their lives on Namibian roads between January and October 20th of 2025. Now, with 2 months remaining in the year, the fund warns that the figure could climb to 500 fatalities if the urgent coordination action is not taken. Speaking on behalf of the fund, Ruben Upindi, this morning at the Road Festive Season Campaign emphasized that the importance of collective responsibility, calling on law enforcement agencies, transport operators, community leaders, and the public to come together and work together through the festive season road safety campaign. Now, the campaign aims to reduce accidents, encourage safe driving habits, and promote responsible road use during one of the busiest travel periods of the year. Let's now take a listen to Ruben Upindi.
The world tells you Congo is cursed.
For road safety, that calls for collaboration between private and public institutions so that all of us fight to at least halve the numbers by 2030. Now, it appears we are on the increase instead of being on a downturn, and we need to do something about it. Like Laria said, this is preceding the launch of the festive season road safety campaign, which is planned for the week of 17 to 21, Commissioner, I think, in Swakopmund. The exact date will be announced when we launch the campaign. Usually from that day until around about mid-January, when the children are back to school. I therefore welcome you today, and I wish that you go a little bit deeper into your pocket. I know the economy is not so nice, but like the minister from Uganda, he says the economy is, the money
is coming.
Is coming. And the economy is... So please, it's not an easy one, but with support from everyone, we will be able to make an impact.
Also speaking at the campaign breakfast meeting held this morning with stakeholders is the CEO of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund of Namibia, that is Rosaria Maltin-Sausiku, also just emphasizing on road safety and public behavior, or those that make use of the road, our everyday people making use of the road, and also how we can change our behavior to make sure that the road is safe for everyone, and also to reduce those fatalities and crashes on the road.
The patterns are so similar every year. The moment it's October, from October, it's like we're going downhill. And we can't just accept this. We're talking about 414 lives lost so far. That's a lot. That is a lot. And we can't be comfortable with that. Those are the people who die. And I don't want to be insensitive to say that for the MVA fund, when people die, it's cheaper. But when you compare to the people who are injured, the extent of their injuries, the trauma they go through, and they have to lie in hospitals, in ICUs for months, then you will see the bigger picture. Let's not just look at it as a cost to the economy, which it is. Let's look at the trauma that people are going through. And while breadwinners are lying in hospitals, the family is affected. The children who are supposed to go to school are affected. When we lose breadwinners due to road crashes, there are children whose lives are changed forever and are dependents as well. So I want to acknowledge the men and women in uniform. I know not all of you are here, but there are those who are representing them. We really appreciate you. We appreciate the work that you do. And most of the times, you are not seen. And most of the times, you only receive the criticism. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was running a marathon in Swakopmund. And I really appreciated the work that the traffic, the Swakopmund traffic was doing on that day. Because they reduced the speed limit on the road of Swakopmund and Wolfish Bay to 40. And they were escorting cars to ensure that as athletes, as runners, we were safe. So they were escorting traffic to and fro Wolfish Bay and Swakopmund. And I observed two things. The one thing is that a 7-seater came driving, did not obey the 40-kilometer limit. But there was an officer that stopped him and asked him, why are you not obeying the speed limit that we set for the day? We did this because of runners. Spoke to him, counseled him, encouraged him, and the moment he finished.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Just ignored. What happened? The traffic officer was very polite, very patient with him. And that was the behavior of the driver. The second one was that as I was running, I could hear cars hooting behind. A lot of hooting. And immediately when I turned, it was just on time for me to jump out of the road because there was again this taxi driver. Not a 7-seater this time, who decided the traffic was too slow for him and decided to overtake these 15, 20 cars. And he was speeding and he was on the lane where the athletes were. About 3 of us were almost run over by that taxi driver. And I'm sure if something had happened, the blame would have been on the police, on the traffic police. So let's just please appreciate them. If we can just offer them a round of applause. Driving at night, visibility is reduced. And this is public passenger transport. And people are traveling at night. There are animals on the road. If I'm not mistaken, one of the crashes, the preliminary report that we have is that the driver was avoiding a code. And that's the time of the day when animals are crossing the road. That is why we are gathered here, and every other year, ideally we would want to activate road safety throughout the year. And we understand the costs associated with driving successful road safety campaigns. It's quite a lot of money. And that's why we resolved to come together during peak seasons, and we focus on problematic areas. We know for a long time, and we understand that if we focus on Commerce region, about 70% of our problems are resolved. Forget Commerce region, if we focus on Ventuk, most of our road safety problems are resolved. City of Ventuk Police is here. When I drive to work, I'm very observant every morning. Maybe because of the industry that I'm in. And it is so that my route would always take me through, is it Ministry of Defense? Do we all see that street? What is the name of it?
Semriyama.
It's horrific. If you are at the traffic lights and you are just observing pedestrian behavior. They cross everywhere, in front of your car, behind your car, cars coming. It's a mess there. And these are people who are going to work. I wouldn't want to say that they are not aware, that awareness is not there. It is not young children who can say maybe they are not exposed yet. Drivers, and I'm not just going to single out public transport drivers or taxi drivers, it's all of us. It's our employees in their nice GTIs, it's our employees in their nice BMWs. They are on the phone, and usually what happens at that intersection most of the time is that the traffic lights are off. Now, if you are not focused, there is a high chance of collision every morning because even the drivers at these intersections are on their phone, so they don't even know whether it's their turn to go or not. They just start driving when the traffic lights are off. That is what we are dealing with. Now, I want to appeal to us that it's beautiful for us to come here. We invite Congress that really come to the table every year. And we are grateful because I see the same companies, I see the same faces, and this is encouraging because the commitment is there. We all want to see a change on our roads. We want to see a decline in the loss of lives on Namibian roads. It's really encouraging to see that. In addition to that, I want us to take a step back. I want us to drive road safety in the workplace. I want us to drive road safety in the workplace. It's okay to take on the socials and blame the Namibian police. It's okay to take on the socials to blame MVA fines not doing enough. It's okay to take on the socials or opinion pieces and say the National Road Safety Council is not doing enough. What are you doing? It's a collective responsibility. Because I wouldn't say that awareness is low. If we all look at that banner, 9682, that's the number to call when there's a crash. When we live here, half of you would have forgotten that number. But when the crash happens, You're calling us. What's the number again? No, there's a crash at so-and-so. What's the number? Where can I report? A lot of people, until it hits home, until it happens in your home, until it happens to somebody you know, then you react. I'm reminded of a story of a minister of transport in South Africa a few years ago who wasn't supporting road safety until it happened home. Then he was at the forefront. He became an ambassador of road safety. Now I put it to you, are we waiting until it hits home? Are we waiting until it happens to somebody that we know before we take action? Can we all in this room say, today when I leave this place, I'll go back to my workplace and I'll become a road safety ambassador? In actual fact, in our employee wellness strategy, we need to have road safety on the agenda. And then you call on us as MBA Fund, because we have the program rolled out already. We have the program set already. We have the plan. We will come and share that plan with you on how you can implement it in your workplace. Now, Hilaria is looking at me like I wrote a whole story.
There you had it from the CEO of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund of Namibia. Also just calling on companies to call on them to teach their employees or their employees on defensive driving. Now this, of course, or sort of like a training that MBA Fund gives to drivers in order to also boost their driving skills for them to be able to better navigate a situation should they find themselves in a situation where, of course, the road gets tight or perhaps an oncoming vehicle is coming and it's directly in the lane where it's not supposed to be. And such type of training that could actually help. Now, of course, everyone has a role to play. Every December, emergency rooms fill up and sirens echo through the night as rescue teams respond to crashes that could have been prevented. A mother who was on her way to see her children, a young man driving home after work, a family returning from church, lives are changed within an instant. Now, the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund sees this pain every day. They are the first responders to a crash, ensuring victims receive medical care, rehabilitation, and support. But prevention is always better than a response. Now, road safety is not just the job of the police or the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund. It's our collective responsibility. To the drivers, slow down. Fatigue, speeding, and drunken driving remain the top causes of fatal crashes. If you feel tired, stop and rest. If you drink, do not drive ever. For passengers, do speak up when you see unsafe behavior. Ensure that you buckle up and your voice could save lives. Sometimes we do see the drivers driving recklessly as passengers, but we often don't open up to speak and report such ill behavior or actually caution the driver that while you're driving is really wrong and you're putting our lives in danger. Now for the pedestrians, especially the children, be visible, especially at night. Use sidewalks and crossing wherever it is possible. For the transport operators, ensure that your vehicles are roadworthy and that your drivers are rested and responsible. In the event of a crash, call on the Motor Vehicle Fund Accident Response Number, that is 9682, immediately. Now, of course, this number connects you to trained emergency responders who can dispatch medical help and guide you through the steps to take. Remember, quick action can mean the difference between a life and a death. When we drive carefully, when we wear our seatbelts, when we refuse to speed or drive under the influence of alcohol, we protect not just ourselves, but everyone on the road. The child crossing the street, the farmer riding his donkey cart, the taxi full of passengers heading home from Christmas, this festive season, as it's upon us, let's remember the greatest gift you can give your family is arriving alive. Let's work together, hand in hand, to make sure that our roads are safe, to protect one another, and to ensure that every journey ends in embrace, not in a fatality or in a crash, in an injury. Let's make sure that we play our part, because road safety, and especially that the festive season is really upon us. Let's ensure that road safety is something that is in our minds. Let's reiterate that message to ourselves and also to our loved ones and also to our neighbors to ensure that your neighbor, yourself, your child, the next person does not become a victim of the statistics of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund, whether it's injury or whether it's a fatality. With that being said, let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. Remember, you are tuned into On The Radar News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Also, you're welcome to air your opinions and contributions on 083-288-401. Perhaps tell us how you intend to make sure that you are going to be on the safe side to avoid road accident crashes or fatalities.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The government of Namibia, through the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform, in collaboration with the Kavango West Regional Council and the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, will commemorate World Food Day on 25th October 2025. Now, this year's event, supported by the United Nations family, alongside partners from both the public and private sectors, will be held at the Nkamarongo Community Hall in the Kavango West region. World Food Day marks the 80th anniversary of the FAO's founding, established to combat global hunger and raise awareness about food security challenges worldwide. Now, the 2025 commemoration will take place under the theme Hand in Hand for Better Food and a Better Future. The theme underscores the urgent need for collective action toward building a peaceful, sustainable, and food secure world. It highlights the importance of partnership across government organizations and communities to transform agri-food systems and ensure that everyone has access to nutritious food while protecting the planet. Now, the day also reflects FAO's guiding vision of the four betters: better production, better nutrition, a better environment, and a better life, reaffirming the global commitment to leave no one behind in the pursuit of resilient and inclusive food system. Now, during the event, government ministries, agencies, farmers, and local private sector representatives will showcase their innovations, their products, and their services in agriculture, food, and nutrition, promoting collaboration and knowledge sharing across the sector. Pardon me. Let's now take a listen to Simon Ngipandura, who's a spokesperson for the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform.
The government of Namibia, through the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform, the Kavango West Regional Council, and in partnership with Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, and with support from the broader UN family, and public and private sectors in Namibia, is observing World Food Day on the 25th of October 2025. World Food Day marks the founding of the FAO, 80 years ago, with the purpose of combating world hunger and creating awareness about global food problems. This year, the event will be commemorated in Kavango West at Ngamagoro Community Hall on the 25th of October 2025, and will be celebrated under the theme Hand in Hand for Better Food and Better Future. The theme resonates deeply with the food security challenge and aspirations in Namibia. It calls for global collaboration in creating a peaceful, sustainable, prosperous, and food secure future. By working together across all governments, organization sectors, and communities, we can transform agri-food system to ensure that everybody has access to a healthy diet, living in harmony with the planet. The commemoration embodies FAO's vision of achieving the better production, better nutrition, a better environment, and a better life, leaving no one behind as we strive for resilient, inclusive, and sustainable agri-food systems. At the event, the government ministry and agencies, farmers, as well as local private sectors will showcase their products and services in the agricultural, food, and nutritional sector. We would like to invite the public to attend as well as the media faculty. Thank you.
Did you know the University of Namibia Alumni Association will host its elective annual general meeting on Wednesday, the 5th of November 2025 at 17:30. Now, the meeting will be held virtually, allowing alumni to join from all corners of the world. All UNAM alumni are invited to be part of this important occasion as we reflect on achievements, discuss key motions, and elect a new executive committee. AGM link will be shared closer to the date, and all reports will be available on the UNAM website. Don't miss this opportunity to connect and shape the alumni legacy. Let's pause yet here again and take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back with more. This is On The Radar News Analysis.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Patafano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. The Ministry of Information and Communication Technology, MICT, is hosting a three-day refresher workshop in Windhoek aimed at empowering and capacitating regional staff members from all 14 regions of Namibia. Now, the workshop forms part of the ministry's broader efforts to enhance access to public information and strengthen the operational capacity of government information centers nationwide. It also speaks to reinforce effective communication between government and communities at grassroots level. Now, speaking at the event, Interim Executive Director of MICT, Linda Ipinge, reaffirmed the ministry's commitment to inclusive and transparent communication, saying, "Our goal is to disseminate accurate and timely information to reach 100% of Namibians through such capacity building initiatives. MICT continues to promote a well-informed citizen and ensure the government messages are effectively shared across all regions, bridging information gaps and fostering national development." Now let's take a listen to Holland Brown, who's the moderator of the event.
I'll skip this. I share an office with Frankie Fredericks, and he tells me I mustn't say we can be fast like Frankie. So we can be fast like Mboma. We can do a lot and we can do it quickly. But, Madam President, you mentioned something yesterday that I think is incredibly important. There are real-world fiscal constraints. This is the study of economics, is the allocation of scarce resource. And there are real-world fiscal constraints. And those constraints aren't going to disappear in and of themselves. Namibia has the second highest tax revenue to GDP ratio in the world. So we're already extracting a huge amount out of our economy. The only way to improve our fiscal revenues sustainably over the long term is through growth, through more businesses, more enterprises, more employment, and similar. But here's the good news, Madam President. We as a private sector want to pay more tax. Not as an individual business, perhaps, but as a collective, we want to pay more tax. We want to grow. We want to create jobs. We want to contribute to the fiscus such that those that are left behind and have been left behind in the past don't remain left behind in the future. This is incredibly important to Namibia in general. In addition to that, we can localize. We can produce more goods and services domestically, and we can transform. The fact that there are so few businesses born post-independence that have grown to become big, successful businesses is one of our transformational problems. And if we incubate, if we help these businesses go from small businesses to large businesses, there is a huge amount more that we can do as private sector. But while we can do all of those things on the, what is it there, on your right, left, sorry, there are a number of things that we can't do. Small businesses especially can't navigate these very complicated environments with extensive red tape. And the cost of delays, as Mr. Namulenga mentioned, the cost of these delays is disproportionately high on small businesses. The cost of these administrative challenges of regulation is disproportionately high on small businesses and similar. Now, my friend Tatipenda, who used to be with finance, he used to tease me about this. He said, Brown, you like those baby businesses, and you like crying like a baby about the problems of these baby businesses. I saw him yesterday, and I said, I'm going to bring that up tomorrow, because I believe that our president, the mother of the nation, understands that a crying business is something to listen to. But I don't like his analogy. I prefer to look at small businesses like fruit trees. We all know that when you plant a fruit tree, you cannot expect it to yield overnight. You have to invest in it. You need to water it. You need to fertilize it. You probably need to acquire it, find your land, etc., etc. And these small businesses can become the big businesses of tomorrow, but only if we nurture them, only if we take them through that difficult early phase and to the point where they can become highly productive and contributive to the economy. Now, I'm going to stop here for a moment, and I'm going to hand over to my...
And now let's take a listen to Lazarus Jacobs, also speaking at the event.
Hello, Comrade Ngurare. I'm the cadre. It takes a lot of time of an SME, of the SMEs in Namibia. Madam President, I represent a company called Paragon. Paragon is 21 years old. It's a homegrown Namibian company. We are... my business partner and I, we are serial entrepreneurs. Our company is in media, marketing, aviation, travel, retail, food production. Maybe I should stop here because somebody will say, you have too many things, you must give other people a chance. But we embody the Namibian entrepreneurial spirit, Madam President. Our company operates in three different countries, Namibia and two other African countries. And we employ about 300 people in our company. Now, every time I tell people that we're a company, a Namibian company that employs 300 people, and we normally get applauded. But that's exactly what I don't want you to do. Because if you look at the maths, our company is 21 years old. We employ about 300 people. It means that for the past 21 years, we've been employing 14 people per year. Now, you see now the picture changes. Because now you have to ask yourself now, as entrepreneurs, what is it that we are doing wrong that we are only employing 14 people per year. Where is the exponential growth? And these are some of the challenges we would like to talk about today. And Madam President, you really mentioned something which is very, very important. You said we have a poverty mentality in our country. And in the poverty mentality, as an entrepreneur, what I understand is we also have a poverty of ideas. And when we have a poverty mentality, we also have an attitude of being small. So our company, I don't know if we still qualify for an SME, and we are also not as large as Namibia Breweries Limited. So the challenge here is what it is that we need to do so that these SMEs can graduate to large corporations. Because Namibians cannot just be stuck in being, oh, we are proud, we have SMEs here, we've been operating for the past 35 years. They need to graduate. Madam President, you mentioned a very interesting number, and that is, how do we create 500,000 jobs in Namibia? And I want to set a challenge for you, Madam President. You will not create 500,000 jobs without us, without entrepreneurs. You can never do that. It has never been done in the world. Namibia will not be the first country to do it. Now, in order for us to create those 500,000 jobs, Madam President, we need entrepreneurs in the room. We cannot have a situation where entrepreneurs are on the fringes when decisions are made about entrepreneurship in Namibia. And I'll give you an example. If you look at the parastatals, government-owned companies that are thriving, if you look at it, on many of these boards, or the parastatals that are doing well, it's not because you necessarily have good administrators. It's because you have entrepreneurs on that board. Because those entrepreneurs on the board understand what it takes to grow, to develop and grow a business. I want, he's probably going to not like this, but I'll put him on the spot. For example.
And with that, let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back shortly.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Get 4 kg Cadilla Mixed Chicken for $189.99. 1 kg Pasta Grande Spaghetti for $19.99. 750 gram Nola Mayo for just $37.99. And 2 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $52.99. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Juka, okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa, nukumona oijamweli nawa. Ninge patafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konberewa, nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM VI.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. And now, since it's Friday, the Villager newspaper is out. That is the Villager newspaper edition of Friday, the 24th of October, 2025. Now do grab your copy and read up on the following headlines. Rundu water crisis deepens. Former USAID health assistants appeal to the Ministry of Health and Social Services for jobs. City of Windhoek engages NFA on land application discussions. Hopes on AFCFTA liberalization to cushion Angoa laws, or Angoa. Someone once asked me, how old is your latest qualification? And an opinion piece by Pamela D. Nyakambau. The impact of innovation in ITSM across the African continent. Grab your copy and read up on those headlines. Furthermore, on those headlines, also make sure that you always do ensure that you subscribe to the Eagle Media House WhatsApp channel and receive a tri-weekly dose of economic, social and community news absolutely free of charge. So ensure that you get your copy and read the best economic and social news and more. All you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-4144 and never miss an update. That is 081-200-4144 and never miss an update. Eagle Media House, keeping Namibia informed. The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho ekike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange dashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa ninge Pada fanona Monica ko Eagle FM on Moraita Timwe Bali Heali Nola Natu Heali Bali no Heali Ileko Berewa Mura Hetatu Natu Bali O Hetatu Watatu Oma Filane Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back, and now brace yourself for economic indicators and trading economics. Of course, we start off with Namibian currency compared to other currencies. And we're starting off with $1 in comparison to the Namibian dollar. Now today, $1 is equals to 17 Namibian dollars and 35 cents, while €1 is equals to 20 Namibian dollars and 15 cents. £1 sterling is equals to 23 Namibian dollars and 0.09 cents. And $1 Australian is equals to 11 Namibian dollars and 28 cents. $1 Swiss franc is equals to 21 Namibian dollars and 78 cents. And now for trading economics. The Bank of Russia cut its benchmark interest rate by 50 basis points to 16.5% in its October 2025 decision. That is the fourth consecutive rate cut and contrasting with market expectation of a hold. Now, despite the cut, the central bank reiterated that monetary conditions are expected to remain restrictive in the medium term due to persistent upside risks to inflation in the Russian economy. Consumer inflation expectations remain elevated amid the high levels of food inflation, and the central bank noted that this is likely to be magnified by price increases on higher VAT levels than the federal government signaled in the next year's budget. Not necessary to trim its widening deficit to finance and the invasion of Ukraine, the bank forecasts inflation to remain at above 4% target until the end of next year, signaling that the key rate is expected to range between 13% and 15% in the period, while the CBR noted that growth remains resilient. The IMF forecasted the gross domestic product to only expand 0.6% this year. The annual inflation rate in Macau rose to 0.47% in September 2025. That is the highest since January 2025, accelerating from a 0.27% in the previous month. Now, the acceleration was mainly driven by faster price growth in housing and fuels, That is 0.37% versus 0.33% in August. Food and non-alcoholic beverages, recreation and culture, health, alcoholic beverages and tobacco, and education. Prices also rebounded in transport and declined at a slower pace in clothing and footwear. The number of tourists in Macau rose by 9.8% year on year to 2.79 million in September 2025, following a 15.5% climb in the previous month. Now, same day visitors increased by 19.4%, while overnight visitors fell by 0.5%. The average length of a stay for visitors decreased to 1.2 days from 1.3 days from a year earlier, with the duration of stay for overnight visitors remaining unchanged at 0.2 days, and for same day visitors also unchanged at 2.5 days. The S&P Global UK Manufacturing PMI rose to 49.6 in October 2025, up from 46.2 in September and well above the market expectations of 46.6. That is according to a fresh estimate. Now, the reading market the weakest contraction since October 2024, as manufacturers recorded the fastest production increase since September 2024, driven by restocking and a tentative pickup in domestic demand. Automotive suppliers noted ongoing challenges from JLR cyber attack through the phased restart of operations provided some support. Now, new orders remained under pressure partially due to US tariffs, while job losses eased and business sentiment improved. Now, that's all we had for you today in terms of economic indicators and trading economics. We pause here now to take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly to tell you what's happening in terms of news beyond the borders of Namibia. To stay tuned.
Lipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushenji fenawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushenji fenawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Welcome back, and now brace yourself for news beyond the borders of Namibia. We normally start off regionally, move over to continental news, and thereafter you can expect international news right here on the Reader News Analysis. Now today we start, as usual, we start off in South Africa, where the Milnerton High School incident is viewed as an insult, an incident of bullying. Let's take a listen.
Protests are set to continue at Milnerton High School. That's in the wake of an incident, a bullying incident, we understand, that took place there. Members of various civic organizations and political parties are demanding that the school expel pupils who are allegedly involved in that incident at the school. A video is currently doing the rounds on social media showing how these pupils assault at least one of the victims with a number of objects, including hockey sticks. So far, we're told 8 of the pupils allegedly involved in that bullying incident have now been placed on a precautionary suspension. Watching the reaction to this now is SABC News reporter Vanessa Buna, who joins us now live. And Vanessa, yesterday we saw several protests unfolding at the school, but you are now engaging the department, which has released a statement asking for the public at the very least to stop sharing that horrific video.
Yes, good morning to you. And indeed, I'm standing outside the head office of the Western Cape Education Department. You've said there that they've asked for the public not to reshare the video or other videos that may be resurfacing. We have seen on social media that there've also been instances where some of the learners are being named. I'm bringing in now Brona Hammond, a spokesperson for the department. Brona, a very warm good morning to you. Let's first start, I think, with what has been described as a horrific and shocking video. We know that 8 learners have been suspended. What can you tell us in terms of the processes that would have taken place over yesterday as well as overnight?
There is a process that is taking place. That is what we have to respect. It's, the disciplinary process is governed by law. The school needs to have a disciplinary hearing now. They currently gathering evidence. 2 other videos have come to light involving some of the learners in the first video, and that will be placed in the investigation file, which is currently being conducted right now. Further interviews are taking place.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinter nuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand, of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Hearing will be held. The school governing body will then determine a sanction or a recommendation for expulsion, and then that will go to the head of department to consider in terms of expulsion or not.
What are we looking like in terms of time frames? Because I know that yesterday a number of parents, siblings, family members, and also those civic and political organizations have been calling for expulsion. They were saying that suspension in the light of what they've seen on social media is just not fit punishment.
Well, then they must actually read the South African Schools Act, because if the school had expelled the learners, then they would have every right to walk in the door of that school the next day, and this whole process would fall apart. The school is following due process as governed by law. So we need to follow that process. The disciplinary hearing needs to happen, and then only then a recommendation. And it is the head of department, not the school, that makes the decision regarding expulsion.
Brona, there are some concerns that there seems to be systemic a culture of bullying. We understand that some of the learners may be affiliated to the schools, to a school sport, rugby in particular. And this is something that you as the education department, you are totally against bullying. I know there are campaigns against bullying in schools. Some people are saying this is not bullying, this is assault.
100% says it's assault, and we need to, and it's been treated as such, actually. The sad fact and reality of it is that we've seen it in other schools as well. And I think the use of social media is actually just instigating some of these acts of violence or opportunities to actually put down another learner, be hurtful, to get more clickbait. And I think that's another aspect of this that we also need to consider, that, you know, social media is playing a very big role in ongoing bullying in schools and outside of schools, and we need to address that very seriously and in a matter of urgency.
We've heard that organizations such as SANCO as well as COSAS are saying that they are meeting with the department. You've earlier said this is not the case. We also know that a number of, well, thousands of learners are currently writing various English papers. Are you meeting with the various organizations? And secondly, how concerned are you about the exams running smoothly, particularly at Molniton High School?
Well, we are open to engage with organizations, but we do not want to do it in a way that will disrupt teaching and learning at the school, and specifically the examination. So we have received a number of letters from political organizations, for instance, and we are responding to them as such. And we welcome that opportunity to engage with us, but we do want the school environment to be protected. Today they're writing English, tomorrow it's Afrikaans. All the learners, they have worked 12 years to get to this point in their school career. This is the final push for them, and they're stressed as it is. So we do appeal that the school environment is protected and that these learners have the opportunity to learn and write in a safe environment.
While we're there, last question for you, Brona, just an overview of how the examinations have been going for matrics in the province.
So far, so good. You know, it's still a long process going ahead. But we've got an excellent examinations team. The logistics is massive in this, but they are very well equipped and everything is running smoothly.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, Brona Hammond, of course, the spokesperson for the Western Cape Education Department, giving us their take on the incident that has been causing widespread condemnation, and of course saying that the processes are now unfolding in terms of those 8 learners that have been temporarily suspended from Molniton High School.
Still in South Africa, where they're talking about the importance of mental health wellness for police officers.
The American Society of Psychiatrists has warned that chronic exposure to trauma coupled with limited resources and a lack of mental health support actually puts the lives of first responders, including police officers, at risk, along with the lives of those that they work and help to protect. Now, during his testimony at the Madlanga Commission, a Gauteng Organized Crime Unit inspector, identified as Witness A, related how cracking the murder of Vereniging engineer Armand Swart came at a high cost to him and his colleague, Witness B, who is currently testifying, after they experienced threats and had to be placed under 24-hour protection. So to talk to us a little bit more, give us a better understanding of the importance of mental health wellness in the SAPS, we're joined by Dr. Wisani Makomisane, who's a member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists. Dr. Makomisane, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to Morning Live.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. Good morning.
I just want to start with the testimony that we've heard from Witness A, who ultimately then ends up breaking down towards the end. And that, I think, gave the rest of us watching this just a glimpse into the pressure that these police officers operate under. But from your experience, for the benefit of the broader populace, just talk to us about what it is that police officers have to contend with and how that actually impacts on their mental well-being.
Yes, I think with police officers, during their training when they're still in college, they're basically trained to put your emotions aside and work, you know. So that's why when the rest of us run out of a building, they would tend to run in. But I think the difficulty is the more they're exposed to trauma, and in this case, high-risk trauma, the more someone believes that their life is at risk, the more those emotions, I'll almost say, the emotions would surprise them. This is where someone who has not had to deal with such emotions now suddenly is exposed to a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression. And that can be quite debilitating.
Now, to put this into further context, 54 SAPS members took their own lives in the 2024-2025 reporting period, which is, of course, a rising trend, which has seen a 300 police suicides reported over the past 7 years. In terms of just the causes, generally speaking, what would lead to this sort of desperation and hopelessness amongst our police officers?
With our police officers, we tend to find that they suffer a lot from PTSD. and how post-traumatic stress disorder will be different from our everyday stressors is that with post-traumatic stress disorder, there has to be a threat of life. You have to feel that your life is under threat for some reason. Now, you can imagine every police officer, when they leave home every morning, they are not sure if they'll come back. That alone is constant stress. But now when you deal with bigger cases like him, you get to a point where you have to be hyper-vigilant. You're always looking around. You have to make sure you're safe. And even when you go to sleep, where your mind was supposed to recharge and rejuvenate itself, the nightmares would come. So some police officers might even avoid sleep because during sleep, all their fears will come back to life. And, you know, generally with someone who's been exposed to trauma, they are able to avoid that trauma. But as a police officer, if it's a case that you're doing, you have to wake up every day and go and do that case. So they then tend to have a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression. The problem with the depression that they suffer is that it's not a sad mood. It's more an emptiness. It's more, you know, you lose interest. You feel like something in your life is missing. So they tend to miss that it is a depression. They tend to miss that they are anxious, because these are generally the people that react when the rest of us duck. So they then struggle for the longest of time without realizing that this is a mental health problem and I need help with it. Mm. And that is unfortunately why most of them will end up resorting to suicide. Because it's almost like they get surprised that I cannot go on without the actual steps of saying I am getting worse, let me do this.
Mm-hmm. But what can the police service do to assist these police officers more effectively? Because if we're seeing a trend with an upward trajectory, surely that is a serious cause for concern. But also, just to add to that, Doctor, what we've been hearing in the testimony that has come out of the Madlanga Commission, for example, is here you have police officers trying to do their jobs, and then they find themselves somehow with their superiors at times presenting them with options or indecent proposals, if you were. And then what do you do as a lower ranking officer when your superior is saying there's an envelope? Because it's almost a scenario where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And I can imagine the sort of toll that that takes on you emotionally, mentally. How do you cope with that?
I think on top of everything else that a police officer will go through, when someone becomes a whistleblower, there's almost an added moral injury, almost a sense of betrayal. You know, you have your brothers in arms and you've been trained to, you know, take care of the brother next to you. And now when you find yourself where part of the investigation will involve your brothers in arms, there's a lot of moral injury that comes with that. And I think that is added stress onto already a system that is difficult. To answer your question with the support, currently on paper, there is the EAP, that is their wellness to help police officers. But the difficulty is that when the EAP, the one who's supposed to help you, works in the same police station or works in your same environment, it's not easy to open up to someone who might share a supervisor with you. So maybe the way forward would be that Department of Health can send people in that are not in the police force to come in and assist from outside. It might be easier then for police officers to open up a bit more.
And then, of course, there's also the issue of the expectations and perceptions from the broader public about police officers, what we expect them to do, how we expect them to behave at any given point in time. And, you know, sometimes, especially these days, one would see the public sometimes being provocative and expecting police officers to still maintain a certain posture. That also, I would imagine, adds to the strain.
Yes,
let's now move on to Zambia, where Zambia and Mozambique have signed a memorandum of understanding on border posts.
welcome you to this brief ceremony.
Zambia's healthcare journey of resilience and progress. Let's take a listen.
Zambia's medical journey began with basic care. At the time of independence, the country was struggling with diseases like malaria and lacked trained local doctors. The post-independence era marked a radical shift. Major investment established a national hospital, with the University Teaching Hospital UTH in Lusaka becoming the primary training and referral center. The graduation of first local doctors in 1972 was a huge milestone, beginning a process of having Zambians take charge of their health care.
Former President Kenneth Kaunda had a ward at the University Teaching Hospital in Lusaka, where he was admitted if he required treatment or when he came for his annual checkup. So he led by example, and it was not surprising then that all his cabinet ministers, all the members of the Central Committee of the United National Independence Party were treated locally.
Today, there is a new frontier, the rise of subspecialties. While the country is still struggling with malaria and HIV and AIDS, doctors are now seeing an alarming rise in non-communicable diseases like high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, and various cancers. These conditions demand not just medicine, but highly complex specialized surgical procedures.
We're able to provide surgeries, both minimally invasive heart surgery as well as open heart surgery. In particular, the National Heart Hospital is now able to do different types of advanced cardiac procedures because now we've got specialists that are able to do this.
So with surgery, most cancer treatment with surgery is open surgery. And this is because you need a lot of wide access to remove quite a bit of tissue.
These procedures, which once required expensive trips abroad, are now being provided locally by Zambian medical professionals.
We were able to do in 2025, 125 open heart surgeries and 196 minimally invasive procedures. That puts us just over 300 procedures being done and 300 patients who would have needed to fly out of the country.
Our surgical department is very strong, very strong, I think, in the surgical discipline, doing a lot of neurosurgery, a lot of neurosurgery, neurosurgeries. General surgery.
The evolution of medical procedures in Zambia is a testament to national commitment and strategic investment. Efim Pande, ZMBC News, Lusaka.
Meanwhile, Uganda hosts its third anti-fraud forum in order to tackle financial crimes
and payment. Amid rising crimes targeting the financial sector and payment services, industry players emphasize the need to secure digital platforms. According to the crime report, economic crimes rose by 1.6%, totaling 295 billion Uganda shillings reported to the Uganda police. The banking sector accounted for 5.3 billion shillings with 110 cases of fraud, including false checks, cybercrime, and money laundering.
A surge in cyber-enabled threats, including SIM swap fraud, phishing, ransomware, and so on and so forth. To effectively protect the economy, we must address the human element, tackling internal collusion and the low levels of digital awareness and the technological challenge of securing our digital platforms.
110 cases reported for a total value of about 5.3 billion. Only seven were submitted to the DPP. That means the seven have gone through the investigative processes and were deemed ready for prosecution. There was substantial evidence from the investigators. Only 7, that is about 6% of the 110. And of the 7, only 1 made it to court, which means that even for the 7 that were deemed prosecution worthy, the DPP's office did not deem them that solid. Only 1 went to court. But the good news is that there was a conviction for that one case. I think I can dare say without fear that we all have a role to play in improving these ugly statistics.
Professor Atham Tabara, a technology strategist, says it is important to use AI to fight fraud because AI drives productivity and efficiency.
AI revolution is bigger than fraud. It's bigger than crime. It's about productivity. It's about efficiency. It's about innovation. It's about cost savings. It's about moving more people out of poverty in Uganda. But we must also write. We must be creators of AI systems.
To effectively fight fraud, there is a need to strengthen the legal framework, invest in technology, and harness the power of AI and machine learning while fostering collaboration among financial institutions, law enforcement, and other stakeholders. Rachel Nabisubi for NTB Business.
Egypt and EU summit strengthen ties on migration, trade, and research.
Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi met European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and European Council President Antonio Costa in Brussels on Wednesday. Ahead of the summit, Egypt and the EU side signed 3 agreements on macro-financial assistance, support to reforms on trade, and Egypt's association to Horizon Europe, that is EU's key funding program for research and innovation.
Egypt believes the solution lies in promoting sustainable economic and social development, political and security stability, and creating sufficient jobs and vocational training opportunities. This will lay the foundation for lasting solutions to this issue. In that regard, I affirm that Egypt plays a vital role in preventing illegal migration. We stopped the departure of any boats from Egypt in September 2016, and Egypt currently hosts more than 9.5 million foreigners who've arrived in the country fleeing from crises in their home countries.
On her part, the European Commission President echoed Egypt's commitment to cooperation on migration.
Egypt has shown remarkable generosity and leadership in hosting millions of migrants and refugees. Our cooperation on migration covers all key areas. It is underpinned by 200 million euros of EU support for the next 2 years, and we will work together to fight smugglers and traffickers.
The European Union bloc, comprised of 27 nations, is currently forming new alliances as it seeks to forge new trade and security deals. The EU is Egypt's largest trading partner and last year offered about $8.6 billion in form of loans, investment and support for migration programs.
And this meeting marks a significant milestone in our relationship. It shows how strong our partnership is. Egypt plays a key role in the region and beyond in promoting stability and conflict resolution. We have an economic and trade relation that has been growing impressively and that we want to see grow even further.
The two sides also welcomed the part of the Mediterranean in which the EU seeks deeper integration with countries including Egypt, Morocco and Tunisia. The EU hopes to offer aid to these migration hotspots in efforts to slow influx to Europe. Wanja Mungai, CGTN.
The EU pledges to address Ukraine's financial needs in 2026-2027.
European leaders committed to ensure that Ukraine's financial needs will be covered for the next 2 years. We have asked the Commission to put forward options as soon as possible, so that Ukraine has the resources it needs to continue defending itself and fight for a just and lasting peace in 2026 and 2027 if it's necessary. Russia should take good note of this. Ukraine will have the financial resources it needs to defend itself against Russia's aggression and in the foreseeable future. Now, the technical, legal and financial aspects of Europe's support need to be worked on, and we will return to this issue in the December European Council.
Indeed, this morning we adopted the 19th sanctions package. It is a wide-ranging and extensive package that hits at the heart of the Russian war economy. And in parallel, the United States is proceeding with its own set of sanctions on Russia.
The tech billionaire talking on OpenAI and Google.
That deal that you would put content out there and in exchange, you could either make money or you could get famous from having done that. That deal is what has generated the internet that we have today. But that deal is changing, and you can actually see it by just watching any sci-fi movie. Some sci-fi movie you imagine has a helpful robot, and you say, I'd like a recipe for cookies. The robot doesn't come back and say, here are 10 links and maybe you can find it somewhere. The robot comes back and says, here's a recipe for cookies. And that once upon a time was science fiction. But if you look at the AI companies today, you look at something like ChatGPT, you look at Anthropic, you look even at what Google is becoming, where they're putting AI overviews at the top of the page. Instead of it giving you a treasure map, instead of it being a search engine, this is becoming an answer engine.
But how did you come to realize that this was a growing phenomenon and actually the complaints people were maybe making to you, which is, hey, Matthew, you know, I'm using your stuff, but, you know, people aren't coming to me as much as they used to.
What we started to hear, because we have so many clients, is at first media companies coming to us and just saying, we're getting killed. And our business primarily is to protect against cyber attacks, you know, the Chinese or the Russians or the North Koreans or the Iranians, you know, hacking, folks. And so when they were like, we have this new threat and it's AI companies, my first reaction was, oh God, it's media companies. That, you know, roll my eyes. They're just complaining about new technology again. They're such Luddites. Like, you know, what's
journalists, Luddites? Yeah. Seriously. Hey, you're in the BBC now, bossy.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that was my first reaction. And company after company after company said, just go pull the data. And so we did. And people might not totally understand how search engines work, but the way that they work is essentially they have a little robot or what might be called a crawler or a bot that's going around and visiting everything on the internet. And so Google every day is making, you know, billions of requests to access all of the content of the internet, and it gets a copy of everything that has been created and then uses that to build an index, which is what the search engine is. And then when you search, it returns the results that you see. And so the deal has been that you let Google copy your content in exchange for appearing in their treasure map that they
have. You get the visibility.
That's right. And so we can see for the last 10 years what the ratio of how much Google crawls that content, Google takes it, versus how many page views, how many visitors they actually send you. And the ratio 10 years ago was they crawled two pages for every one visitor that they sent you. So they crawled two, they sent you one visitor. Over that period of time, that has gotten much, much worse. So today it's up to almost 20 to 1. They crawl 20 pages for every one visitor. What's changed? AI overviews. Because that then says, I don't have to click on anything. I don't have to go anywhere. I get the answer right there. And that's the good news for publishers. If you look at folks like OpenAI with ChatGPT, they're at 1,500 crawls for every one visitor that they send you. If you look at something like Anthropic, it's 40,000 crawls for every one visitor you send you. And just from a fairness perspective, like, that's cost to the BBC. That's cost to content creators. They have to pay for all of that crawled content, and yet they're not getting anything in exchange. They're not getting the traffic. And the world over time is going to move to these answer engines. And as it does, it means that the deal that content creators have with them, it has to change. And you made in that context, and in the context of all we're discussing about the development of AI, a quite remarkable decision, which is that you said AI bots will not be allowed to scrape
yep.
the data from websites that are protected by Cloudflare technology. Can you just explain precisely what was the decision you made and why did you make it?
So it comes back to where we started with the conversations with media companies where they said, our businesses are getting killed because people are taking our data. They're using it to give answers in their answer engines, but they're not sending us anything back. They're not paying us. They're not sending us traffic that we can monetize in one way or another. And so we started to think about, you know, what could happen. And again, we walked through and we said, you know, done right, we could create a new market and a new business model, which might not only be better for media companies, but might be better for society as a whole, where we get away from kind of the rage baiting, dividing media that we have today back to rewarding real content creation. And the question is, how do you get there? And you need a market. And the challenge is that no markets can exist without scarcity. There's not a market for air unless you're scuba diving, right? Because there's no air underwater. So you have to pay someone to put air in a tank and then you breathe that air and they make money from the scarcity of air, right? If every media company is just giving their content away for free and they're letting anyone take it and they're not getting anything back, then there will never be a market. And so in order for us to get to that better media place, in order for us to understand that, we said we have to restrict this. And the media companies, you know, again, because they don't have the same technical sophistication often as someone like Cloudflare does, they didn't have the tools to be able to do that. And we really do believe that, again, coming back to those journalists who are covering government corruption, coming back to the small local newspaper that we own, we think that media is such a critical part of society and it deserves to be protected. And so we said, we need to engage in this and we need to take all we've learned from stopping, you know, hackers around the world and apply that to help media companies have the ability to stop these AI bots, create scarcity, and then hopefully what emerges is not a world where all the media, all the journalists starve to death, not a world where all the media gets locked up behind five different AI companies, but one where there's a fair exchange of value, where if you're creating original content, you're paid for it. And
with that, we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Reader News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the On Another Year program brought to you by Loisa Shimi. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow from 1900 hours to 2100 hours for life lessons right here on Eagle FM. Goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful weekend and remember to drive safely. Don't text and drive. Don't drink and drive. Make sure that you stay alert. Goodbye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni mwondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito tanjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nao nune uto otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejipa omarudi dayo loka.
Now, before Luisa actually takes over the particular important aspect that I overlooked, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Hello. Hi. You. Hi.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. You are live on radio. This is Happy calling you from Eagle FM. Mm-hmm. I'm just hereby to inform you that you are this Friday's lucky winner of the 500 ShopRite YouSave gift voucher.
Oh, wow.
You don't sound very excited.
I am excited.
Are you sure?
I didn't expect it, though.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with your gift voucher?
No, just go purchase home stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's your name, by the way?
You are talking to Martha.
Martha. Martha, what's your name?
Ileka.
Okay. Thank you, Martha. From where are you?
I'm in Oshagati, Kuku.
Oh, okay. Congratulations again, Martha.
Alright, thank you, ma'am.
The team will definitely call you up and get hold of you to inform you how you can pick up your gift voucher.
Alright, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. And this is our lucky winner for today's Friday 500 ShopRite YouSave gift voucher. Now, to ensure that you are the lucky winner next time, make sure that you send those messages, answer correctly, and send as many as you can, as it increases your chance of being the lucky winner. With that being said, goodbye. We hand over the mic to Loise as she brings you the Onko Na Nadengi program.